Presentation is by Dominic Halsner from Oral Roberts University, and the title of his talk is How Oral Roberts Views on Science and Faith Influence the Character of Christian Higher Education in America's Bible Belt.
Hey, it's great to be here. It's always a pleasure to come to ASA meetings, especially when I get a chance to bring a student along. And this is David Madaw, education major at Oral Roberts University, who's going to help with the presentation. He helped also to put it together and the research that went into it. Over the past few years, we've experienced some leadership changes in the administration at Oral Roberts University. And it's very important to the leadership to make sure that our constituency know that we are sticking to the founding vision of our university, Oral Roberts' founding vision. And it got us thinking about the way Oral Roberts founded the university and what that founding vision was. And he had some very forward-thinking ideas when it came to science and faith and allowing Christians, even students, young Christians, to form their own opinions, as Michael was just talking about science and faith and human origins, as long as they could reconcile a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So we came to really appreciate that in recent work in science and faith, in my research group in science and faith that David is a member of. And so we're going to kind of try to illustrate that over the next few minutes with some thoughts that David is going to begin with.
Okay. So there's a story when Oral Roberts first announced that he was going to make an accredited university. He was talking with a friend of his, Jenkin Lloyd Jones. And Jones asked Oral, how are you going to make an accredited university that is tied to Genesis 1? Oral laughs, smiles, and says, well, the Lord speaks in many parables. But so that's pretty much what our talk is going to be about. Okay. So just to give you some background on Oral Roberts University, it was founded in 1965, and it was accredited in 1971. The important aspects we're going to focus on here are its remarkable theological diversity, as well as its academic freedom. We have a source from a longtime professor, Nathan Maline, who taught most of the geology.
Geography.
Oh, okay. And earth science courses from 1967 to 2010. He wrote a letter to Oral Roberts in 2007 thanking him, saying that he and a colleague, John Korstad, often told others that their university had more academic freedom than any other university they knew. And he says a very interesting thing that he says, and I quote, we did not have to line up our views to denominational standards or lines. And then very shortly afterwards, he says that he believed that ORU was one of the most diverse campuses on earth, theologically, denominationally, racially. And he said, basically, it was their ability to kind of what Dr. Tennyson was talking about by recognizing or by believing that charismatic views were top tier and that views, really all other views, were second tier. Or basically, a belief in Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit came first, and all other views really came second. Okay, now on to Oral Roberts. I don't know how many of you know about Oral Roberts, but basically he was a Pentecostal holiness, a healing evangelist, He came to prominence in the late 1940s and 50s. You can think of him as the Pentecostal contemporary of Billy Graham. Vincent Sinan, in his 2016 article, calls Oral Roberts the father of the charismatic movement, mostly through his influence on mainline denominations through his TV specials, basically. And that's a little background on Oral. But some of you who are old enough to remember Oral Roberts probably have some pre-existing opinions on him. But I kind of want to share why I believe or why I respect Oral Roberts. And one, his genuineness. Even in the beginning, one of his opposers said, whatever one may say about Oral Roberts, one can never say that he is insincere. And the second thing is his openness. An interesting thing to say about a Pentecostal holiness healing evangelist. But this was true regardless. I think it was this openness that kind of leads us to the point of our talk today. Okay. So, why Oral Roberts should have been a young earth creationist? So, basically, Oral Roberts determined the theological and academic course of ORU. So, it makes sense that his views would be important to this talk. Basically, he had a common sense approach to interpreting scripture that was filtered by experience. And one would think that this hermeneutical approach would kind of lead him to believe in young earth creationism. But we kind of know that he did it. Okay. So, for a couple of reasons. His commentary on Genesis 1, his views on secular and spiritual truth, as well as his views on science. Okay. So, in a commentary that Oral Roberts released in 1981, he basically says that we don't really know how long creation took, that the interpretation of day, especially if you consider it in the if you're from the perspective of the person who's writing it, which Oral assumed to be God, that it could mean we don't really know how long a day was. Which is interesting for someone who believed in a common sense literalistic interpretation of scripture. But I think the question then becomes, what prompted Oral to believe that this interpretation of scripture is common sense? And I think it was his views on secular and spiritual truth. There's a lot of text, but basically, it's a very simple idea. It's that Christ said, I am the truth. Therefore, all truth comes from God. It's very similar to the idea stated by Augustine that all truth, if it be truth indeed, is God's truth wherever it may be found. And this use of common sense hermeneutical approach, common sense interpretation of scripture to support something as radical as a non-literal interpretation of Genesis is really interesting, I think, because it followed naturally from his belief that all truth is God's truth. And we'll kind of see that he extended that definition of truth to scientific truth.
Yeah, I think we have time to go ahead and read the quote. I think it's important.
Okay, sure. Okay, so all those years I was evolving, coming to realize that all truth stems from God, whether it's spiritual truth or secular truth or any kind of truth. If it's truth, then it must be from Jesus Christ because he said, I am the truth. I saw no reason to fear any kind of truth. And through this, I realized that we, Oral Roberts University, were in a very fine position, probably a position that few had been in history, in which we could take the understanding that the Bible really gives of man and put it together in an institution of higher education, that we could be just as concerned about the acquisition of knowledge, adding it on, and passing it as anybody else. In the same article, he says, I saw that there had to be a meeting of the secular and the spiritual. Through the years of my study of the life of Jesus, I continually saw that Jesus was a whole man, and he did not divide the secular and the spiritual, as I was observing people doing. Because people think in terms of what they have been preconditioned to believe, it was difficult for many to see the spiritual and academic coming together in Oral Roberts University in a common outreach for world evangelism. Educators saw the splendid new buildings existing only for a secular education with Christian emphasis. The more evangelistic-minded ones saw it more as a high-class Bible school. To many, it appeared that the spiritual and the secular could never be joined. But God revealed to me that we should not divide and separate the spiritual and the secular. They were both His and were for our benefit and growth as His children. We look on a student as a person, as a whole person, and approach his education intellectually, physically, and spiritually. Our standard is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the whole man, in whose likeness we seek to be made whole men and women. That is to say, our search for truth is in the dimension of Christ Himself, who is ultimate truth. And that pretty much Christ is to search truth, is to search for Christ. I guess you could say, Oral Roberts, I think the term is he worked out of a high Christology, that to search for Christ was to search for truth, and he kind of took this a step further. And a very interesting statement with the same Jenkin Lloyd-Jones, who asked him how he was going to teach geology at this new university. He said simply that anything that can be scientifically proven must be God's work. How else could it exist? It's very interesting, this like recognition that God is the creator. Thus, science as a reliable investigation into knowledge about nature reveals things or reveals truth about God Himself. And it's an interesting validation of science from a Pentecostal holiness healing evangelist, I might add. And I think, let's go back, if you don't mind. I think the implications of this are kind of what Dr. Tennyson was talking about, is it provides a reconciliation for people of a Pentecostal tradition who interpret scripture in a common sense way, common sense literalistic method, filtered through common or through their experience, to reconcile scientific truth with their religious ones, to validate the truth given to us by science as a revelation of God Himself. And thus, that in a way, it is just as reliable, or it is a reliable revelation of God. So, I don't know. I just think that this is a very interesting reconciliation. And that, especially given the work of Dr. Tennyson and his colleagues, that evangel was the most resistant to change or resistant to accepting full evolution. I think that this, in a way, could help solve that need or solve that problem.
In a sense, we have a lot in common with Evangel University up the road in Missouri. We're just down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Oral promoted this idea of throwing out the different positions that Christians take on these issues and letting the student explore for themselves and coming to their own conclusions instead of indoctrinating the student into one particular view. And this is from very early on. I came to ORU in 1992 after the university had been around for almost, since the mid-60s. But I knew biology professors like Dwayne Thurman and others who had been there from the very beginning. Nate Moline, one example. Nate Moline, the story about him, he remembers being invited to Oral Roberts' home for dinner along with others of the founding faculty very early on, and Oral said one thing very emphatically to them. He said, our scholarship must not be suspect. And so he instilled in them that we were to have the very top most best scholarship. And the other thing that Oral really laid a foundation for was to allow the science and the biology faculty in particular to nurture this environment where the student could explore and come to the determination of truth for themselves and how to reconcile scientific truth with biblical truth. And so we went through some changes. Right after I got to ORU, Oral was president for one more year in 1993, and then in 1993, his son, Richard Roberts, took over. And it was still the same kind of governance structure, a founder's school, a very kind of top-down authoritative governance. But Richard, I don't think, had quite the academic acumen thoughtfulness that Oral had about the science and faith issues. In fact, at one meeting, I don't know whether it was like at a commencement or a major faculty meeting, he said something that caused me to really was sort of upsetting to many of the faculty. He said, here at Oral Roberts University, we don't believe in evolution or the Big Bang. And first thing I noticed is that he lumped two issues together, which need to be, you know, explored in their own right. But also just he wasn't very thoughtful in the same regard as Oral was. And so we pushed back a little bit, but respectfully, because there still was this authoritative administration. We hadn't gone through our shared governance situation, which we have recently. So we met this with some respectful resistance in terms of the science faculty mainly. And then in 2012 to 2013, we experienced a very much of an upheaval in the administration as Richard Roberts resigned as president, and an interim president came in. Billy Joe Doherty was a pastor from across the street at Victory Christian Center, and he called the science faculty up into the sixth floor conference room and said, I want you guys to adopt these materials. And he threw out all of these books from young Earth creationist sources and encouraged us to adopt these into the curriculum. And you can imagine we were more in line with what Oral had originally proposed as the vision for science and faith. And so we took time at that point to set out in writing our statements about this openness to various perspectives in science and faith that was what we felt were in line with Oral's original vision. Now, it was a short term that Billy Joe Doherty was the interim president before Dr. Mark Rutland took over as third president of ORU. And Mark Rutland was a lot more open to a wide spectrum of Christian views on science and faith. And I remember at one point when we found out that we had received the Evolution and Christian Faith grant from the BioLogos Foundation during this time, the faculty and the theology and some of the administration were very concerned about this grant taking money from an organization which was clearly theistic evolution. And so they called us into the president's office and confronted us about doing this grant from BioLogos. And their main concern was that we would be viewed in suspect by our constituency because we were receiving money from somebody that we didn't necessarily agree with. And Mark Rutland said, I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, you know, Oral lots of times took money from people he didn't always agree with. Our new president, Dr. William Wilson, is being very careful to protect the founding vision of our university. In his mind, although he appears to the science faculty to be less open to the wide spectrum of Christian views on science and faith and the openness to allow the students to come to their own conclusions, he's very concerned that we do not offend our young earth creationist fundamentalist constituency, which I can understand. But we sense this minor pullback then from Oral's original vision with the new presidency, Dr. Wilson. We were able to complete the Evolution and Christian Faith grant from BioLogos, but with some concessions. Dr. Wilson allowed us to complete 2 30-minute television programs on origins from a Christian perspective as part of the BioLogos grant. But when he viewed them after we had completed them, he was reluctant to allow us to show them on the Golden Eagle Broadcasting Network, which is our television network, out of concern for alienating certain constituencies. And I can understand that. But the cool thing that came out of all of this tension and sometimes disagreement was we began to see how, well, first of all, that Oral Roberts was well ahead of his time in science and faith, but one of the coolest things that came out of it was, well, again, also, that when you're experiencing rapidly changing university administration, you want to try to follow God's leading as close as possible. But the cool thing was that these were opportunities to pursue Christian unity as a model of how Christians should act in the midst of a diversity of views in science and faith. Because this is one more area that we have allowed to separate us, to divide us, and it should not be. As Michael Tennyson was saying, this is a secondary issue, and we began to understand that perhaps this, all this tension and conflict that we were experiencing with the administration was an opportunity for us as Christians to really dig down a little deeper and pursue unity, even though we don't all... Unity doesn't mean you all agree on the same thing, but it can be a graciousness towards one another and an acceptance of one another, even in the midst of a diversity of views. So that was what... I think the best thing that came out of all of this. And I'm very much appreciative to Oral Roberts for shaping me in the last 27 years of teaching there. The way that he founded that university has ended up shaping me into the kind of person I am today, and I really appreciate that. And I think David might also have a personal, short personal testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like a lot of people who come to a place like Oral Roberts University, I grew up Assemblies of God. I was a young Earth creationist, without a doubt, and to consider anything was heresy. Even the possibility of evolution, all the major evolutionists were anti-Christian. It was very interesting coming to ORU, because I met a lot of people, a lot of Christians that believed in evolution, theistic evolution, and yet still believed in the Bible, which in Pentecostal tradition, that's mutually exclusive. this similar idea, it happened. Well, it's shaped me, it's influenced me, evolving me to the wider spectrum of subcultures that exist within Christianity, and helping me realize that there are possible reconciliations, and that it is possible to live with both religious integrity and intellectual integrity. So, yeah, anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you.
One thing that we noticed over the years is that the theology faculty were under a bit more scrutiny by the administration than the engineering and science faculty. But nevertheless, the theology faculty at ORU, for as long as I can remember and early on, has been very diverse denominationally and in these different views of origins and science and faith understandings. So But there were, with regard to the BioLogos grant, there were a few theology faculty who were the main ones who were concerned that this was going to hurt student enrollment and that we dare not address these issues in the form of this grant from the BioLogos Foundation. But Even so, even in the heated conversations that we had, I can tell you that the science faculty and the theology faculty at ORU are still very good friends and have come through this conflict, this tension, for the better, I think.
I taught at Wheaton College for 25 years, and our statement of faith said that Adam and Eve were the father, the parents of the whole human race. And since it didn't say biological parents, I didn't accept that there were biological parents. And one time I had close to a 2-hour conversation with our president and our provost over that issue. But as long as I felt in my own mind I could honestly sign the statement of faith, but leave out the word biological, I could sign it. So how did you deal with origin of man and Adam and Eve?
You know, I think that's part of the beauty of the way Oral founded the university. We have doctrinal statement, but it just speaks of God as creator. There's no details with regard to exactly how and exactly when the creation took place. And so I think he was pretty smart, pretty wise in how he founded the university and crafted that statement of faith. I think maybe students and faculty have more difficulty in signing the honor code than they do the doctrinal statement.
I never know all wrongs, but I really believe that his very high view of the importance of the Holy Spirit must have informed him prophetically, to see beyond what he could see on a human level, and that's how he was able to have that kind of insight.
I think you're right. I think he had a lot of trust and faith that the Holy Spirit would lead. And the Bible says that the Spirit will lead you into all truth. And that's what I think he was thinking about. Thank you, Alan.
One more question.
Yes, Alan.
Thank you very much. It certainly changed my perspective on what Oral Roberts University stood for.
That's what I was hoping.
I think I had a naive picture in my mind of what it was. But it can be difficult to have a communion with some for whom your view is considered unacceptable.
Yeah.
You can accept their view, but because of their beliefs, can't accept yours.
Right.
Did that come up for an issue within the faculty?
That gets to really to the heart, and are you willing to really go the extra mile when it comes to offering grace to a brother or sister? But you mentioned communion, and I'm reminded of even the Catholic Pope now, who made a comment recently about Protestants and Catholics having communion together, literally taking the Eucharist together, which is had been unheard of, but this new pope is talking about that kind of thing, and why not? Even though we may not agree on all the details there, we could still have fellowship and communion together. And I think this is really exciting to me that perhaps the great reunification is coming in many different ways.
On that hopeful note, let's thank you.